Being woke is all the rage today, with every big brand trying to fit in and convince us to get woke. But what does it actually mean? And is it worth it to try to fit in with the latest cultural shift rather than be authentically true to the core of the brand? Well, in today's polarized world, nearly 3/4 of people believe that companies should take a stand on societal issues, even if they're not directly related to their businesses. Previously, companies have purposely avoided taking public stands in order to reduce the risk of alienating clients and losing customers. But increasingly, businesses feel the pressure to take a stand one way or the other in order to appeal to the modern customer who is voting with their dollar bills. I'm Christy I, and you're watching The Cost of Everything, where today we're going to be looking to see, is it worth it to go woke or go broke? Stay woke was a term previously reserved for black activists, but now it has assimilated into mainstream culture to refer to an awareness of social injustice and inequality. Brands have started to align themselves with the cause, making that cause a part of their mission. But it's not easy to balance corporate values and profitability with these new woke values, as they can be inherently contradictory. For example, if you wanted to maximize profit, one of the easiest things to do is to cut wages or have low wages and no benefits. But in order to fall in line with today's societal values of higher pay, equal pay for women, flexible hours, work-life balance, and benefits, this contradicts directly with the company's profitability. And in the past decade, there have been companies who have gone woke successfully, others who try to go woke and fail miserably, either because the message was ill-conceived or it alienated the conservative core target audience, and other companies who attempted to ignore trends altogether and not choose a side. So let's take a look at a few of them. In recent years, one of the most spectacular failures was the Pepsi's 2017 commercial, which attempted to piggyback on the Black Lives Matter and other protest-led movements, and having Kendall Jenner to defuse the riot with a can of Pepsi. Now, this completely missed the mark and undermined the meaning of the protests, leading to widespread backlash from the woke community, who boycotted the product and tweeted to cancel Pepsi. Similarly, Bud Light also had a mishap when it reached out to trans social media influencer Dylan Mulvaney to help sell its beer, thinking that he would appeal to the woke community. Unfortunately, while he did appear to the woke and LGBTQ community, it alienated Bud Light's core drinkers, who are a pretty conservative bunch. Sales subsequently declined 17% the month following the commercial. And now Disney has come under fire again and time again for their supposed wokeness. They have made changes to their family films featuring the first same-sex kiss in its Buzz Lightyear and casting a black woman as the lead in their remake of The Little Mermaid. In response, 14 countries, including the UAE, Egypt, and Indonesia, announced that they would be banning Lightyear from cinemas. As a result, Disney lost $123 billion of their market value as stocks dropped over 40% from the beginning to the end of 2022. Disney slashed over 7,000 employees and announced a $2.4 million subscriber loss to streaming service Disney+. Lightyear ultimately became the lowest-grossing film in a franchise that had made over $3.3 billion. And the numbers don't lie, and we see with the examples given of big profit losses with Disney and Bud Light. But what is the solution? To stay away from cultural shifts or keep on taking big risks? For this and more, we'll bring in our finance expert, Achilles Larrea, CEO of Larrea Wealth Management. So great
to
have you. It's a pleasure. Now, starting off, do you think companies are better off shifting their branding every couple of years to stay in tune with the cultural shifts, or should they just stay true to their roots?
I think it's a bit of both. You know, you want to stay true to your roots because what got you there may not necessarily get you to the future, but at the same time, if your audience is changing, you want to make sure you're taking the appropriate steps to move the needle along, but not so much as these companies have shown us, that they are alienating their core subscribers or their core audience. So it's a bit of a balancing act. And at the same time, they have to stay true to themselves, which I think is very important going forward, because at the end of the day, at the end of the quarter, you have to answer to your investors.
And how do companies on average spend on these marketing campaigns, and how big of an investment is that?
It really depends on the company. I mean, we saw Bud Light spending a significant amount, but in the bigger marketing budgets per se, they can pivot very quickly if they need to, and we're starting to see that from them. And, you know, we'll see other companies doing the same, where if the marketing initiative is not working, they're going to cancel it and they're going to move in a different direction. They'll pivot when they need to, but at the same time, they will look for things that the trends are positive in their favor as well. And if it is, they will enhance that and move forward in that direction.
And now, what has been the worst PR disaster from a poorly planned, culturally insensitive marketing campaign in recent years?
Well, I mean, you know, it's one opinion versus another. I mean, a lot of people will say the Bud Light is one of the worst that we've seen so far. I would agree with that, that they forgot who their audience was. And they were listening to someone telling them that they needed to get another segment, but they completely missed the mark and brought, you know, saw that who are Bud Light drinkers, you know, 18 to 50 or more. And they completely missed the mark going after a different segment of the market and alienating their people. It just didn't make sense at all. And they might be paying that for some time. Sometimes being woke is not just, you know, what you think. Being woke, you can't be broke if you're a corporate company. You have to think every quarter, you got to answer to people. And if you don't, and you don't do the right thing, guess what? You're going to miss the mark and you get punished by Wall Street and the investors for that.
Yes, and I feel like they're going to be a business school case study for years to come now. So is it better to go woke than to try to fight it like some of the other companies who just try to ignore trends completely?
Well, you see a lot of companies ignoring trends, but it's because they are at a point where they say to themselves, what's more important, to be trendy or to have their core message and the core values in place, don't change, move forward, it works. You know, a lot of, let's just take the banks for instance. Banks are happy to make 2 to 4% a year, you know, in terms of growth. They are scared of big growth. So they will not, they're so conservative, they will not go in a direction that would alienate any one of their investors and stay true to their original meaning. However, then you have technology companies that want to seem cutting edge, that want to seem like they are doing, you know, hey, not only are we woke, but we're not going to go broke because we're going to include everybody, you know? So they, I think they're, them going forward, they are going to do very well in this, but it could be other companies too. I mean, sneaker companies, clothing manufacturers can do very well in this movement, but not limiting yourself to just being woke for the sake of being woke. Being woke, please don't be broke.
And what do you make of the recent Bud Light example where people are boycotting the beer in droves? Is this going to put a dent in the seemingly universal push to go woke? Do you think that companies are going to take this as a cautionary tale?
I don't think so. I think that companies are pretty smart. They have good people directing them. If they have good people directing them, they're going to move into a direction that is a little bit more conservative, but at the same time, to feel like they're a little bit in step, in lockstep with the trends out there. But maybe they're not going to take as much risk because of the Bud Light scenario. So that may be one direction. then it could be completely opposite, where you have a company say, hey, you know what? We saw that. We're going to learn from those mistakes, and we're going to move forward in a really trendy, woke way. And they accomplish that by staying true to what made them get there in the first place, in my opinion.
And with all of these campaigns, are companies trying to get ahead of the curve and be the leaders of change? So, for example, with Bud Light, that the consumers are older, so they wanted to target a new wave of younger consumers. Do you think that that was like a shift that they were trying to change their demographic, possibly?
You know, I think the idea was good in theory. I don't think the execution really worked out for them, as we saw. And just because you have a lot of people boycotting doesn't mean they can't be back tomorrow. You know, at the end of the day, beer drinkers are kind of fickle consumers, and they want what they want. And if they're comfortable with a brand, they're going to continue drinking. They're going to continue using that brand. So not necessarily indicative of going forward what may or may not happen. Another thing to keep in mind when dealing with the woke culture, you don't want to go too far a plumb somewhere other direction that doesn't make sense for your company. And I feel that learning these lessons now is going to be something amazing for these companies, that they won't make the same mistake twice. You know, we've seen it in other trends. And at the same time, I think we'll see other mistakes being made in the woke mentality. But at the same time, they're going to move forward and do so diligently.
And how can companies recover from campaign disasters like either the Bud Light campaign, the Pepsi campaign, or even Disney?
Look in a different direction and say, what woke? We didn't do anything. No, I'm kidding. You want to have a company that, you know, is nimble and can pivot, but at the same time, remember what happened. Take that and use it for the new campaigns. Maybe going back to the core message is important. Maybe going back to the amended core message might work. And I think that's really the solution for companies that got themselves in trouble. Go back to the message that is originally part of your core audience, and move forward, not forgetting what happened in the past, but at the same time, acknowledging it on a PR, from its PR standpoint, but in the new messaging, amending, pivoting, and moving accordingly.
Now, has there been any examples of companies that have managed to pivot successfully?
Oh, Coca-Cola. I mean, they came out with, they originally had the change in formula and a brand new Coke, completely alienated core Coke drinkers, myself included. I remember when that happened, and I remember saying, you know, the old Coke was better. And the company learned. They promptly they didn't take the new Coke off the shelves immediately, but they promptly brought back the old Coke formula. People started to come back, you know, to Coca-Cola, and came back in droves because they liked the taste. And the new formula was quietly shifted out. And they also said to themselves, you know what? We got to go in a different direction as far as trends are concerned. And now they're transforming themselves into a health company. You know, that, hey, we got water, we got vitamin water, we got all these different things. And the company is thriving. It's been solid dividend-wise. It's been solid growth-wise. But that's just a small example of what can happen.
Thank you so much, Achilles, for your time today.
Oh, my pleasure. Anytime.
And when we come back, while many companies failed to go woke, there are some winners who have been extremely successful at navigating this new woke landscape. We'll have more after the break.
Hi, I'm Rick Sanchez. And I'm here to plead with you, whatever you do, do not watch my new show. Seriously, Why watch something that's so different? Why listen to opinions that you won't get anywhere else? Look, if it pleases you to have the State Department, the CIA, weapons makers, multi-billion dollar corporations choose your facts for you, go ahead. Why change? And whatever you do, don't watch my show. Stay mainstream, because I'm probably going to make you uncomfortable. My show is called Direct Impact. But again, you probably don't want to watch it, because it might just change the way you think.
NATO has made it clear it deems its Ukraine proxy war against Russia as existential. As such, Russia too sees the conflict as existential. It could not be otherwise. There will be no negotiated end to this conflict. One side will lose. The smart money is not on Biden or NATO.
While many companies failed to go woke and instead ended up in hot waters, there are many winners who successfully navigated this new woke landscape. Nike took a huge risk with its ad campaign featuring NFL quarterback Kaepernick, who was unsigned for kneeling during the national anthem to protest racial injustice. The ad read, "Believe in something, even if it means sacrificing everything." And predictably, it blew up in both directions, with one side going all out to support Nike and the other side boycotting all Nike products. But the ad ended up earning $6 billion for Nike as it catered to a massive customer demographic. Recent demographic shifts means that much of America's wealth is being generated and spent in blue districts, in particular places like New York and California. Research showed that red states don't have a big population, but economically progressives are capturing the majority of income. So mathematically, there is a solid shareholder-driven business strategy in promoting progressive values. Other brands like Savage X Fenty, the lingerie line by Rihanna, is leading the woke way with inclusive marketing, including models of varied backgrounds, plus-size models, LGBTQ plus models, and even a model who has lost her foot and two fingers. Research has found that millennials and Gen Zers account for $350 billion in spending power in the U.S. and are increasingly using their shopping habits to voice their values. Gen Z alone will account for 40% of global customers by 2020, and they are willing to pay extra for products and services from companies that are committed to positive social impact. It shows that roughly two-thirds of customers would switch or avoid brands based on their stance on controversial issues. But not all companies are happy with the way cultural trends are shifting. For example, Victoria's Secret had previously positioned itself as the standard for what is sexy and beautiful. It refused to change its messaging as social trends shifted more and more towards embracing body positivity rather than emaciated models. But then sales slumped in the 2010s as its market share dropped from 33% to 24% for lingerie, forcing it to close 53 stores. It was also forced to apologize after telling Vogue that it didn't want transgender models in the show because it would, quote, spoil the fantasy. It had also previously said that he had no interest in portraying a wider range of sizes or skin colors in its branding, as it wasn't interested in, quote, marketing to the whole world. As a result, Victoria's Secret struggled financially as the brand plunged 40% in 2019 alone. Forced to adapt in order to survive, Victoria's Secret finally shifted its brand to include plus-size models and promote body positivity. But it was called Too Little, Too Late. So it seems like going woke is a timely matter, and some brands have monetized the going woke trend. So for more, let's bring in Dr. Abbas Mizera, business marketing professor at Macquarie University and author of Woke Brand. So many brands' entire reputation stems from the going woke trend and monetizing this, like Rihanna's Fenty makeup line and her all-inclusive plus-size lingerie. So given her success, why didn't more brands step up to imitate?
So that is one of the common practices to copy others, to mimic other successful campaigns. And that is one of the principles of legitimacy theory. Brands trying to kind of seek legitimacy by signaling that they care for the society, they put people before profit. And one of the simplest ways to do that is to mimic other successful campaigns. But you can only copy someone if you share similar characteristics with that other entity. So here we're talking about Rihanna. Her background gives her that voice, gives her that instant authenticity and genuine perception and authentic perception, right? So if I don't have that background, if I don't have those characteristics, copying her would only be resulted in me being labeled as opportunistic. You know what I mean? Let's again discuss Gillette's campaign, right? Gillette really tried to copy Nike after Nike launched the Dream Crazy campaign. Only a couple of months later, Gillette launched that the best man can be. And they thought it's going to work like Nike's campaign, even though Nike's campaign also was divisive. But Gillette's experience was totally different. The reason was Nike had a history of practicing or launching campaigns featuring a HIV positive person in their campaign, or their Just Do It campaign started with a 80-year-old runner on the Golden Gate Bridge, right? So they have this history, and then they launch that campaign. Compared to Gillette, with no history, with no background, which they did, copying Nike was only resulted in the perception of you are parachuting into one issue without having any history. So while it is the simplest way, it can also be the simplest way to go backward without identifying the similarities and characteristics. It is not really recommended to copy other successful examples.
There's this entire focus on authenticity when it comes to marketing, but isn't authenticity and marketing inherently an oxymoron?
To some extent, perhaps based on the practices over the past few decades, maybe to some extent, when we have pushed so far selling products, you know what I mean? When we have used exaggerations in our campaigns, in our advertising campaigns to just sell more, we have damaged authenticity, obviously. At the end of the day, companies have to start from somewhere. Even if it is fake, even if it is symbolic, it has to start from somewhere. You know what I mean? You can't be symbolic forever. You can only be symbolic at the starting point. Then people will evaluate you as you go on, and they want you to be accountable for all those promises and all the things that you have advocated for, right? So just because of there is this dilution and because this poor image perhaps about some of the elements of advertising and marketing, it doesn't mean that the advertising world or the marketing world should kind of disengage in this very important issue. And we know that the power of communication, advertising, and marketing. You know what I mean? So if in the past they have used it mostly to sell products for profit-seeking intentions, now there is a great opportunity to employ those skills and strengths to push for human values.
Where do you see woke culture going? Is it going to get more extreme? Or how do you envision it morphing in a few years from now? Will it still even be a thing?
I think that's a very interesting question. I don't think, based on what I see, I don't think it will become more extreme. Perhaps what we have seen over the past 12 to 18 months is that there has been a little bit of backflip from extreme woke to more moderate woke. And I've written a piece on a woke backflip There are a couple of reasons for vote backflip. One of them perhaps is that the audience, the target audience, consumers and general public, they don't want brands to engage in political issues or politically charged issues. So as a result, companies have, and most companies have realized they don't have the experience as much yet to deal with these social challenges, and they are implementing commercial mindset into social issues, and that's why we see these you know, backlashes. As a result, they have tried to tone down and moderate the voice to kind of avoid controversy. There is going forward. I've also written a piece. It hasn't been published yet, but to me, the next frontier in the woke dynamic is unwoke. The Republican camp, I believe, is moving towards unwoke. Past 3 years, they were fighting woke. Now they are offering unwoke as an alternative solution. And we have seen examples of brands being targeted by Republican camp because they have been too woke, perhaps. So to me, going forward, there will be this fight between woke versus unwoke, and companies will be pressured by politicians. Past few years, we have seen companies push, pressuring politicians. Now it is changing towards politicians pushing brands. Walgreens, for example, was forced to not sell the abortion pill in 20 red states. And then the California's governor also threatened the brand that if you don't sell it in those red states, you're not also welcome here. Or we see Governor DeSantis, trying to challenge Disney's, rights in that state. So the next frontier will be woke versus unwoke, and I don't think woke would go more extreme. If anything, it will become more moderate.
Thank you so much, Dr. Abbas, for your time and insight today. So, should companies go woke or stay true to themselves and risk going broke as they refuse to be swayed by cultural trends? The answer is, it depends. There are many who are big winners in this generation for being able to capitalize on this trend in a way that resonates with the woke crowd. But there's just as many losers for attempting to go woke, but because they do not understand it or believe in it, their message is construed as fake or tone deaf, and as a result, cheapens the overall brand. So is it better for brands to just even shut up and sell widgets and not even get involved in politics and beliefs? Well, unfortunately, people are demanding that brands and businesses take a side, and if they do not, they simply vote with their dollars to support a different business whose beliefs align with their own. In a world that's screaming for inclusivity and togetherness, it seems that we are more and more divided and opinionated as ever. I'm Christy I. Thanks for watching, and we'll see you right back here next time on The Cost of Everything.